2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
One of my least favorite things about the waiver wire is when I've dropped a player and now they're the number one ad on the waiver wire. I am Season Long Says at Alan Cislowski, and this is the Week 13 Season Long Waiver Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm sitting here with El Presidente himself. Hello and welcome back from Miami, geek.
What's up, everyone, man? Good to be back. Traveling sucks, but the vacation itself was spectacular. I'm 15K richer. My kids were happy. That's like worth another 20K. You know what I mean? Like, wife and kids, happy, excited. They went on an awesome vacation.
For those of you who are listening on the public feed, the founder in chief of DFS Army, Kevin Allen, was one of only 75 finalists in the King of the Beach DraftKings contest. And he went down there, and it was a $200,000 first prize, one lineup, one silver bullet, and you finished in 14th place amongst an original field of, what, 400, 200 people?
It started with, obviously, you had to win a qualifier to get into the initial field. So 200 people won the qualifying ticket to get in the initial field. In the semifinal, you had a 200-person contest.
There you go.
Where it was going to be whittled down to the top 75. That was last week. And then this week was the final, with the top 75 being whittled down to, you know, 1.5 million in prizes. Not super top heavy. 200K to first, 150 to second, 100 to third, that kind of thing. So I finished in 14th place. Respectable showing.
Yeah, no, and you took home $15,000. It's unbelievable. I mean, you know what was cool too is we were all rooting you on here from home, and it was unbelievable. You know how you tinkered with one lineup, and we are going to go into that in depth tomorrow on the Geeks podcast. So if you want to hear the full story from the moment he walked off the plane, singing the Will Smith Miami song to the time he came home, pockets fat, family happy, tune in tomorrow. That's Wednesday. But Geek, the reason people tune into this podcast is not even for you. It's not even for me. They just want to get to the goods. They want the value. They're in week 13. This is the week where if they don't win, they're done. Or if they've clinched a playoff spot, they need a couple pickups that are going to bring them home. And they're holding us that we're accountable for doing this for them.
That's what we're here for, man. I got the same needs, man. It's the final week. Fantasy playoffs are coming up next week. You know, I've got a few teams that are teetering on the edge of a bye week.
Yeah, how are your teams overall? How many leagues are you in?
I'm not in that many. I'm in a couple of dynasty leagues and one super flex league. That's the one I'm in with you, and then a couple of DFS Army, two DFS Army specific leagues.
Yeah, I think that's like four leagues is like the sweet spot. I went from 12 leagues to this year 8 leagues. I'm gonna pare it down to about 4 next year because you start to kind of not pay attention, not through any fault of your own, just like it's too much bandwidth between all the podcasting we do, the research, all the DFS stuff, like, you know, that you're doing. You have to find like the sweet spot, and for me, it's about 4 leagues.
Part of that is I like dynasty leagues for this reason, because they're almost like best ball leagues in the sense that they require a lot less in season management. But yeah, I mean, even this weekend in one of our dynasty, like, I forgot to put in Allen Robinson. I just didn't notice that he was on the bench, and, you know, weird things like that just happen when you have a lot of leagues and you're super busy with just general sports. But I think in our super flex league, I believe I'm teetering on the edge. That one I'll just make the playoffs. I think I've got a spot, but I won't make.
But that's all it takes, man. Just get in the tournament and then, you know, get hot in the tournament. And, you know, drafting is one of the funnest parts of the fantasy season. And, you know, it's a good opportunity for me to let the listeners know that I will be taking part in a Thanksgiving Day draft on Sirius Radio Wednesday. What's today's date? So
today's the 26th. Tomorrow,
so Wednesday the 27th, I will be on Sirius Radio at 11:20 in the morning, drafting against the RotoWire guys and some Yahoo guys, and I will be representing DFS Army and trying to put together a juggernaut. And then you and I, Wednesday night, tomorrow night, will be drafting against our friends over at the Flex Network, doing a Thanksgiving Day draft, which will be broadcast live on this feed.
Very important for money.
Yes. Oh yeah. No, we're doing it for money. If we're not, we're not drafting.
With no action, I'm out.
Yep, I agree.
Now let's get to the meat and potatoes, man.
Okay,
I'm trying to make the playoffs here. Okay, I got a couple leagues. I got one league where I really have no running back. I've been dicking around with Sony Michel and David Montgomery, and the reality is, not so good. Well, Miles Sanders, not happy with it at that RB2 spot. So. Let's talk about, give me some ideas. One of the things I love about the Waiver Wire pod, and the reason I listen to it every week, not just for my season long teams, but also for my DFS teams, is because Waiver Wire targets are DFS value plays next week also. So I love this stuff. So let's start with the running back position. This past weekend, Benny Snell, lots of touches for the Steelers. Looked amazing. I mean, looked like a real running back on this team. And Rashad Penny takes over for a fumbleitis induced Chris.
Now, are we sure that, I mean, Seattle's been winning. And so you're talking about Rashad
winning. They were not winning that game, like, significantly.
Yeah. But, right, you know sometimes that the NFL is not process-related. It's more results-related. And they're not just going to abandon what they were doing all year. Chris Carson has built up a big resume of productive production, and you know his running style lends itself to fumbling a little bit based on how hard he runs. But I agree that Rashad Penny is a must add.
Bullshit. That was like the biggest excuse. What are you saying, that all these guys who run hard, like, that don't fumble? You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't fumble twice. He's fumbling too much. There's something up.
Yeah, no, he's. I think he's leading the league in fumbles. Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. And I'm sure Rashad Penny is going to have a role here. But can you play him with any confidence that, I mean, the floor is so low. I would definitely roster him. And again, it's kind of cheap advice to say, okay, push all your chips in at this point. Obviously, anything you have at this point, you're just going to try to get these guys. Now, this is what I was going to ask you, Geek. You know, if you want to become a really good fantasy player, and that's what we for season long, what I think the key is, and you guys and I talked about this in the preseason, the key is going to get these guys a week ahead of time and finding the guys in the second wave of waivers where you can get $0 bids. Now, if you're just in your office league where everyone's asleep at the wheel and you basically make the playoffs just by showing up, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about any competitive league where you know, where people have a clue what they're doing. The key to fantasy football is getting a week ahead. Now, Rashad Penny and these guys, of course, you're going to sometimes have to push all your chips in, but these are guys that, you know, we have to see coming a week ahead.
Absolutely. You've been really great at that. I've been paying attention to your pickups, and yeah, I mean, you've definitely put your money where your mouth is when it comes to, you know, grabbing some of these guys and these backup types, that high level backup types a week before they're needed. And like I said, we're coming up on the playoffs. There's no more time to hoard your fob. I'm sorry, right. But there really is just no reason to at this point. Yes, injuries are here. All right. So let's just real quick on the running back position. I think your two choices are Benny Snell or Rashad Penny,
like, absolutely,
of guys that are available. Now, I mean, you want to talk about like deep sleepers, whatever, but yeah, those are the two guys that.
Right. I mean, like Alexander Mattison, Pollard, you know, those guys need to be rostered. I mean, they should be rostered already. If they're not, just get. And even someone like Gus Edwards is someone that if Mark Ingram goes down, you have a top 10 running back.
Just high level handcuffs, right? We want to have those guys. They should be on the roster. At this point, you should be dropping like middling wide receivers that aren't actually starting on your team.
Adam Humphries, guys like that, you know? Yeah.
Those type of things. So, you know, the slot receiver from a mediocre, you don't need to hold that anymore. At this point, roster high premium guys that you actually can start in your playoff team. So my question for you is, between the two top guys, now Alexander Mattison, he still needs an injury to be relevant. We can't count him.
Right.
But between Benny Snell and Rashad Penny, Benny Snell, as long as John Connor is out, I think Benny Snell is a
stud. I like that you call him John Connor. James Connor.
John.
But I know. Yeah. And also, I think that even if I'm going to call him John Connor for this podcast.
The Terminator.
Even if John Connor, the Terminator, James Connor, for those of you who are annoyed by that, it's like
John and Jack. You know how you can just James and John.
There is always a weird James. Jack that's called John. There was one of those guys in my high school. You're right.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But I think that even if Connor comes back, I mean, the chance of reaggravation are actually more than average. And there's a good chance he's shut down for the year. So I like, you know, we talked about in the preseason that Benny Snell could be someone that the Pittsburgh fans fall in love with, that like kind of like this Jerome Bettis. I mean, you can picture them yelling Snell or Benny.
He was catching passes. He was so good. He relegated Jalen Samuels to his normal backup role.
Yeah.
This wasn't like Jalen. It wasn't like what they did with Trey Edmonds. This was like Jalen Samuels continued to play his usual pass catching role. Benny Snell, lead back, like any other lead back in the NFL, like Nick Chubb. Like, this was serious usage this week.
And he has draft pedigree, was drafted in the fourth round. That's significant draft capital for a running back. Okay, I'll throw the question back on you. Which one of, if you can only have one of these two, if you're in a league that has waiver priority numbers and you have the one, who are you taking? Which one of these guys?
I'm putting all of my chips in. Let me be clear.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's always an all.
Yeah, as long as Season Long Says tells me that the Terminator might be terminated.
That's a good way to put it.
Okay. As long as Season Long Says tell me that, I'm putting all of my chips in on Benny Snell.
Yeah, I agree.
His team produces points, and Seattle are going to fuck you over. That's what they do. Okay. The minute you think it's Rashad Penny, they're going to go back to Carson. And the difference is with Benny Snell, this is the guy. Like,
he's available in your league, too. I guarantee you he's available. Unless you're available. He's 5%.
I would have played Benny Snell in the King of the Beach yesterday. I would have been 185,000 richer. I promise you.
Yeah. And now that they've changed quarterbacks, I don't know if you saw the quote by Mike Tomlin. They go, "Well, why are you starting Duck Hodges?" And he goes, "Because we need somebody basically that can function." Like, Mason Rudolph was non-functional.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Okay. So we agree on.
He's almost as bad as Carson Wentz.
He's been bad. I agree. And speaking of which, you know, and we'll get to the QBs, Andy Dalton back in play as well this week. But let's stay on track with the running backs. You mentioned that you would prioritize Snell over Rashad Penny. I agree with that. All the mainstream sites out there have Penny first. No big deal. Agree.
The same sites that ranked Lamar Jackson 17th overall going into the season? Those guys?
Yeah. It's funny, though, because like the clip I sent you today, I was like, wow, man. I was like, we were looking at ECR rankings, and he was like 15, 18. I'm like, we have him at 5. And I asked you, I was like, do we need to pull him down a little bit just to get back to market? And you were like, no, just go with it. Just go with it. So that was a good time.
If you followed our preseason rankings, you either have Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, or Lamar Jackson, or Kyler Murray as your quarterback this season. It's none of these fucking turds that were recommended by the experts out there that don't bet any money on this stuff and never win.
Right.
So all right, on you for listening.
Now,
these emails like, dude, I fucking have Lamar Jackson as my QB. I got him in the ninth round. You guys had him way ahead of that, and I'm winning my league. I'm like, yes, you are.
My favorite one is that we did jump on board with Antonio Brown as like a second round pick, but you know, we also told people to grab DJ Shark. So you didn't miss a beat. I mean, DJ Shark has Antonio Brown's number this year, and we can go on and on. But we also had a lot of misses. Let's stick, because the people want to know who to pick up this week.
Yeah.
All right. So with the running backs, obviously I say it every week, Alexander Mattison, Adam, Tony Pollard, Adam. If you're totally desperate and you are, I mean, the Atlanta running backs, I think Freeman might be coming back this week, but if Quadri Olson, if you're totally desperate, fine. And then what I want to ask you is, how serious is the injury to Damian Williams? Are you interested in Daryl Williams? I have not been able to figure out the backfield for Kansas City at all. I mean, it's just been, for a good offense, this has been like impossible to figure out week to week.
I don't mind throwing Daryl Williams on my bench if he's available, but Shady McCoy is still there. It's a weird split. It's a weird split overall. Daryl Williams is an emergency playable guy, though. And I would rather have him than Quadri Olison and Frank Gore or Nyheim Hines.
All right. All right, let's move over to wide receiver. And
By the way, if Jonathan Williams, he shouldn't be, but if he's still available.
He's 85% owned. So.
All right, I forget.
Yeah, he's not available in your league, especially if you listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move over to wide receiver. I sent you out a list. Are there any names there that jump out of you? Someone, again, this is, and we're not going to say, hey, put all your money on. At this point, just pick up guys, put $0 bids in, or just use your waiver priority if you need a wide receiver. We talk about being a week early on players. Is there anyone that you see here that's a must add this week, or that we can probably sneak in a week early before they become relevant?
No, nothing here is a must add. You know, these are basically no wide receiver, in my opinion, emerged this week as a must play. I mean, if you wanted to squeeze out some value out of someone like Russell Gage, he's readily available. He had a pretty good week.
How about AJ Brown? He's only 16% owned. He looks like an absolute monster. The number one target on Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill, even though he's not passing a lot, I mean, he's in the mid-20s with pass attempts. AJ Brown is just, you know, when he gets targeted, he does something with the ball. I mean, you would prioritize him. You'd be willing to play him down the stretch?
I mean, it depends over who, right? So are you playing him over Jamison Crowder?
No.
Probably not. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, who am I playing him over? John Brown? No.
How about any of the James Washington on Pittsburgh? He has produced 2 weeks in a row with two long scores. I'm interested in picking him up. He's only about 20% owned. Would you see? I mean, I could see him being a factor down the stretch, especially with Devlin Hodges, who's not afraid to throw downfield.
Listen, can't be worse than Mason Rudolph. So yes, this is where a new situation has emerged that might lead to something good, because Juju Smith-Schuster, I don't know if he's coming back. I don't know what his deal is. As long as he remains out, this guy, James Washington, seems to be the top guy. I mean, Deontay Johnson.
Yeah. No, I mean,
yeah, Deontay Johnson's
he's
out
still
there.
A rookie, you know, but yeah. James Washington in his second year.
Never a special player, by the way. Never special.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that we liked best about James Washington was his ability to high point the ball and go up and get it and like out muscle guys for it. So, and that has shown itself in the last couple of weeks. There's a couple other players I would, you know, that I'm interested in and picking up on waivers. And again, it's, you know, you have to be strategic with how you spend your budget. I mean, you could probably get some of these guys, but how about Mecole Hardman? It looks like Tyreek Hill might miss some time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mecole Hardman, right team, right environment. He plays that position. I think it's late in the year. So you have the rookie who earlier in the year wasn't quite ready to take the full-time role on. You had a bunch of other kind of turdly guys coming in there. I don't think it's going to be Pringle. Hardman,
they've been hard to figure out. Even like the second wide receiver position has been almost impossible to figure out week to week. But I mean, if you're in your playoffs and you know, when you put a wide receiver three in there, and that's what Hardman would be for you, hopefully, you know that the floor is like zero, but you could win your week. And that's really all I can ask for out of my wide receiver three is, hey, can this guy really win me the week? I don't play like a Cole Beasley types in my wide receiver three, hoping for 9 points.
Sometimes you could play a Cole Beasley type, but you want it in a special matchup where, you know, Jalen Ramsey's on John Brown, which happened like this week.
Yes.
Or
bad example.
What was that?
That's it. I mean, I gave you a bad example because it did work out for Beasley.
Yeah, it doesn't. Those guys, you want them at that special week when elite coverage is on the other guy. But, you know, there's other names. Like DeMarcus Robinson's kind of like the number three wide receiver there also, or number two. I don't know what you'd call him, but like they don't throw to him. So, you know, Hardman, one positive thing about him is they always do a few specialty design plays to Hardman every single game. Even if he wasn't starting, they'll have like three specialty plays, a flip, a toss, a flea flicker, run. Yeah, they do that with him.
Yeah, so the other players that I'm interested in on waiver wire is Anthony Miller he's been held down by this offense, but he has been targeted the last couple weeks. Mitch Trubisky's looked a little bit better. I think Anthony Miller, who we agree is a good player, it just hasn't happened with production, and now we're starting to think it's Trubisky. Are you at all interested in adding him? I'm just looking up as we're talking to you about the talk.
No.
All right, well, let me give you his numbers first over the last call. I think they'll surprise you, okay?
All right, give me the numbers.
Okay, last 2 weeks. So, you know, I mean, we're talking about small, but for waiver wire, I mean, all we really always are talking about is like a small sample size. Like, can Anthony Miller help you? Okay, 11 targets and 9 targets over the last 2 weeks. He's converted that into 12 and 13 PPR points. He caught basically half his targets. 11, he's got 20 targets over the last 2 weeks.
I did not know that. So
right, that's what I'm saying. Nobody knows that. And that's why they listen to this podcast, because he is not on any waiver wire list right now. I checked around. And he was a guy that I thought, you know, listen, you know, if you're desperate at wide receiver, I'm rolling out some guys right now that I'm just not happy with. They're banged up and You know, it's
those really aren't bad. I mean, I have to say, listen, Taylor Gabriel had 15 targets the other week. So and I, mean, I don't know what the hell's going on here.
And he's out. Taylor Gabriel's out with a concussion.
Ooh.
Yeah. So again, this could be, you know, again,
Anthony
something.
Miller, hold up. Let me just expand on this now. I did not know Taylor Gabriel's out with a concussion. If Taylor Gabriel is out with a concussion, Anthony Miller should be one of the most popular pay down options on tomorrow, on Thursday's Thanksgiving Day spectacular slate, because you're right. This is why, I don't know if that's the reason. I think the target spiked the last couple of weeks for, you know, a couple of various reasons. One, in week 11, because the Rams have Jalen Ramsey on their team. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the passes went to the other guys.
But we know we liked Anthony Miller as our favorite guy in that rookie class coming out.
He hasn't done shit, man. Right, I mean, it's been a disappointment.
Okay, but he scored in his rookie year when he was banged up. He scored 7 touchdowns. That's ironically, that's the only thing he hasn't done this year is scored the touchdowns. He's had, but I said over the last couple of weeks, he's got the targets, he's got the yards, he hasn't gotten in the end zone, but he is a red zone threat.
Listen, I'm down. The floor here is really bad when all three wide receivers are healthy.
But they're not.
But them not being healthy, I think that raises up the floor enough to make this a viable play, even in your fantasy playoffs, if you are desperate.
Right. I mean, and even not, like, would you rather play him or Cole Beasley?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean,
right? That's what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's
the same level. And I've played and started Cole Beasley this season. He definitely starts for one of my dynasty teams. Right. That is going to crush the playoffs, by the way, in first place.
Oh, yeah. You do have a good dynasty team. I will give you that. And you know what? Anthony Miller. His owners might be frustrated, and I know a lot of trading has stopped in season-long leagues, but he might be an interesting buy target in Dynasty for frustrated owners. But moving along, okay, and also the other guy that I like in the wide receiver, I think you can get Randall Cobb. He's only 36% owned. He's been productive. Just take a look at his numbers as you go in there. Right. And then the last guy, the guy that, you know, you have to get a week ahead of time, it might be too late because he scored a touchdown. He didn't do much else, but N'Keal Harry, the Patriots really don't have anybody else to throw to. You know, if you have room on your bench, I could see a situation where no one sees it coming. You can get him basically for a dollar. You can get him for free. I wouldn't mind putting him on my bench. The cat might be out of the bag a little bit, being that he did score the touchdown. You could see the case for Harry being that there's no one else there.
No, I mean, you're in trouble if you're starting N'Keal Harry. I don't care. You know, Dorsett, one of those guys is going to come back. Dorsett's on concussion. I don't like that. And I think Sanu's going to come back also. I don't like it.
Fair enough.
You know, I don't think it's a situation that's going to win you your playoff games. So I'd rather mess with these other guys who have a little bit higher volume and are definitely going to be playing the whole game for their teams.
All right, Geek, quickly. Let's take a short break here and then come back and we'll handle the tight ends and buzz through the QBs. We're going to talk about our friends over at OverlayDFS.com. You've been playing lately at OverlayDFS.com. They just launched their basketball. And while you're telling people about a little bit about OverlayDFS.com, I'm going to bring up their screen and show you what the basketball interface looks like.
I mean, to talk about OverlayDFS, what I like about it is, you know, Overlay, what do we want in games that we play? We want free money, essentially, built into the game. And that's what the overlay component is. They have the progressive jackpot where, you know, if you nail it, you get, you know, this progressive jackpot money. It changes all the time. So every contest people enter, yeah, as you're rolling through right now, you know, there's one of the contest types has a $1,200 progressive jackpot. And, you know, so essentially beyond just playing the game, you get this bonus, right? The NBA progressive at $1,400 at the moment by nailing them all. Now, how I play it is I just take the DFS Army projections, I put them against all of their sit-start decisions, and I look for the biggest discrepancies. So it's very projection-based, and you can sharply play these. Now, the cool thing is, if you are in the money, top 10%, this plays as a deck double up, okay? Whatever it is, you can 10x your money.
9x your money. Yeah.
You 9x your money.
You know what? It's the top 10% of people win, and then you can 9x your money.
Yeah, you 9x your money. What that means is, let me compare, because I really like this game, and it's a little hard to explain until you play it. When you win, you get 9x on your money, and it's not hard to win. You need to finish in the top 10% of your contest. So in DFS, as the example, to get 9x on your money, you need to be in like the top 0.05% of all finishers in a contest, because they pay out a lot of places and they pay all this extra money to first place most of the pool. Here you can almost, you know, you 9x your money just on one game, finishing top 10%. And it's not hard to do it when you have projections, because most of the people here are just looking at it going, Kamara, Cooper, I like Kamara. Like, they're not actually looking at a projection. Like, this is so easy. Like, Mike Thomas or Zeke Elliott? What kind of dumbass question is this? Of course it's Mike Thomas. You know, like, who came up with this? Driscoll, he might not play. Of course it's Trubisky, right?
Right.
Julio Jones or Allen Robinson? Julio Jones is hurt. Yeah, there are like ways, potentially hurt. You didn't hear it here. I don't know.
So basically, this is how it works. For those of you watching us for the first time, which, you know, I'm sure at this point we have most of our loyal listeners and viewers, that up on the screen right now, we have a list of 30 matchups, and you have to pick 12 of those in their progressive jackpot game, and you have to decide who's going to have more fantasy points. Essentially, it's like a 12-team parlay, and if you get all 12 right, you win their progressive jackpot, which could be at times over $20,000. But most of the time, it's the top 10% who wins. And usually if you go 9-3 or 8-5, you can win it. Sometimes 7-4, depending on the week. Then they also have head-to-head games. They have NBA games, which is unbelievable. Every time there's an assist, a layup, anything like that, the whole standings flip on its head. So go visit our friends over at overlaydfs.com. And we will see you over there, and you can check out their progressive jackpot games.
Enter the $20 one. You turn it into, $200, including your original $20.
Oh yeah,
it's fucking awesome. I'm sorry, it is. It's, how are you going to expand your bankroll like that so quickly in a DFS contest? Very tough here. And your move is take the DFS Army projections, write them down on a paper, write them next to the things, pick the ones you like the most. It's very beatable.
All right. We'll finish up strong here in the next 5 minutes. We'll hit up the tight ends. So I sent you a list of tight ends that I thought were, All right. So the one who's most interesting to me is Kyle Rudolph. And I never thought I would use those words. Kyle Rudolph is 43% owned. So there's a chance he's owned in your league. He has been. I know. It's so bad though, isn't it?
Dolph. But
I mean, have you ever used him in the history of DFS before?
Years ago. I used him a couple weeks ago and it was fine.
But
in salary, like 2 weeks ago, when Thielen out, Rudolph has been involved.
Correct. Now, is Thielen coming back this week to your knowledge?
He's supposed to be. Listen, we don't know. But
okay.
Listen
to this. Last 3 weeks, 12 fantasy points, 22 fantasy points, 20 fantasy points, 4 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
5 touchdowns in the last 6 weeks. They're going to this guy in the red zone. I just think that in a season where a tight end is just a death zone, that Kyle Rudolph is my favorite ad. I know a lot of people like Jack Doyle with Eric Ebron going out and PPR.
I like that one too.
Yeah. Which one do you like better?
Is he under 50%?
Who? Doyle or yeah. Rudolph?
Is Doyle under 50%?
No. Okay. Doyle's probably in the 60s. But he is available in some leagues. That's why I put him out there.
I mean, there'll be a play in DFS this week. That's why I always look for, like, who's a DFS player. You're gonna play Jack Doyle because he's the only guy now, and he gets a pretty nice floor when Ebron isn't in the game. David mm-hmm. Njoku is another guy. I'm hearing he's healthy. He might come back.
Yeah, 25% owned. I definitely would add him. I mean, if you're desperate a tight end. Now, if you have a tight end already, if you're playing Waller, if you have Hunter Henry, and you have room, I would just be more concerned with the other positions. I wouldn't, if David Njoku, he's also going to need a show me game first. It's not like you could just pick him up and put him in. Like Kyle Rudolph and Jack Doyle, if they're you put those guys, you pick them up, you can play them this week. But with Njoku, if he was ready to go, are you really going to play him this week?
No, you're right. He needs a show me game. So that's a move you make for a couple of weeks down the road. And seeing here that he's 25% owned, it looks like people made that move like last week also, just started adding him back in anticipation. But he's not a great tight end. Even when he's healthy and in the game and doing his thing, he's just, like a TE2. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, agreed.
You're not getting much there. Mike Gesicki had a good week this week.
Yeah. Now he was a highly touted prospect, very athletic, 7 target. The targets have been there. Listen to the targets over the last, month, 6, 6, 6, and 7. I mean, what can you can't really ask for more out of a streaming tight end than, 6 to 7 targets a week.
Not getting much more than that out of any tight end.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So if you need a tight end, he's out there. His owner percentage is 12%. So there's a very good chance he's out there in your league. You know, in some leagues that we're in, also they don't. This is the last week for waivers. They don't allow for waiver pickups in the playoffs. I mean, I don't like that rule. So if you're in that league, try to get that changed. But so you have to like really think ahead. And this is also what I was going to tell people is that start looking at matchups ahead. You should have been doing this last week. And this is the time to stack two and three defenses. It's I almost sometimes take two kickers depending on, you know, if I have, you know, if I want to play matchups, if I have Nick Falk, for example, and I may not want an outdoor game.
Hit me up with it. You couldn't have nailed it. This is when I'm so glad you broached this topic. This is when defenses should be added with great matchups over the next 2 or 3 weeks. You want to win and get it a week ahead of time. So tell me, season long says, who are the defenses that have great matchups between weeks 14 through who gets to play against rookie quarterbacks that don't know how to do anything, that are terrible at football?
Yeah, I mean, Green Bay was one of the defense. And again, it's not just which ones are there. It's which ones are available.
I need an available one. Yeah, you can't give me the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, anyone playing the Giants, I mean, Danny Dimes has been a turnover machine. So I would definitely, you know, I have to look at the schedule. I'm just pulling it up as we're talking.
I just got the douche chills from Danny Dimes.
I know. Well, you know, isn't that great?
That's the douche chill.
Danny Dollars. And then sometimes, you know, even when he plays well, I call him Danny Bitcoin, you know? Green Bay in week 13, they play the Giants. Philly plays the Giants. They're probably available. And you know what? In week 15, Miami, would you actually play Miami's defense at home against the Giants?
No.
Right. And then Washington plays the Giants. It's not that we don't like Danny Dimes.
Teams who are playing against Washington, please. Like, can I have that? You know, Dwayne Haskins, give me some of that.
Yeah. So that's what you do. And I mean, I'm just looking at one league I'm in and I wouldn't mind playing a defense against Tampa. Indianapolis plays Tampa.
Pittsburgh playing the next 2 weeks. They're not available, but.
I'm just looking at Indianapolis's defense right now. They have Tennessee in week 13, but at Tampa, that's, you know,
no.
Yeah, I know. It's getting dicey. Oh, here. Okay. Here's the Washington. Washington plays Carolina, Green Bay, Philly, the Giants, and Dallas. That's their remaining schedule.
I mean, Panthers defense in general, they're probably not available either. That's the problem.
No. I mean, people have already.
The Steelers.
Yeah.
Steelers have like a bunch of easy games. I remember scouting it early in the season. Who are they playing?
They're probably owned though, man.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I'm just look again, but this is what you do. You start picking up defenses, looking at matchups, because I'm just looking in a competitive league where people already own two and three defenses.
Yeah, who are the Jets playing the next couple of weeks?
Why would you? The Jets have been all right though. I mean, you're not going
to
really.
I'm saying who to pick up Jets defense.
Yeah, the Jets defense play Cincinnati this week in week 13. That's big.
And then
the Jets play Miami in week 14. That's good. And then they have a tough schedule going into Baltimore.
Don't play that.
Yeah.
So
even the good defenses have a rough go. Like San Francisco has Baltimore this week and a must-win week for you. You know, you're not going to be so happy about that.
I would dare say you cannot play San Francisco defense.
How about in week 14 in New Orleans? Can you play them then?
Yes.
Okay. But so if you own that San Fran defense, would you drop them to play Indianapolis this week? I mean, Indianapolis.
I wouldn't drop them, but
I mean, no, sorry. Would you not play them?
Who are the Colts playing this week?
Let me see. Go back to the free agents in this league. The Colts have this week, they're playing Tennessee at home. Because that's going to be basically what people are facing. Okay, do I play my really good defense against this superb offense, or do I play Indianapolis Colts, who have been a double-digit scoring fantasy defense, but they're playing at home, and then they have to face Derrick Henry, who just runs over people?
You don't want that situation.
I mean, what do you do, though?
Pick up a different one.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's
always
somebody.
Detroit, like, you know, there's always a defense. It's unfortunate. Let me get my... I don't have my main screen in front of me.
Detroit plays at home against Chicago. I guess that's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, like, sure. You know what I'm saying? I like Chicago a lot better, but I mean, you know, Detroit defense, Chicago ain't that good. I mean, if you're in an emergency situation, let me go to the main game. You know what? the main games this week, but it's hard because you don't have these screeners. You got to look for the next, really. It's the playoffs that I want to prep for. Like today, what I want to do is look at team matchups in the playoffs and see if I can get teams facing crappy teams defensively. Because like you said, you rode certain defenses to the playoffs. That's great. But I mean, if they're playing Baltimore, if they're playing top offenses, they're playing the Patriots, you don't want to run those guys out. So prep now so you don't have to fob against your league mates.
Yeah. I mean, well, at this point, you're right. It's just picking up guys. Just look at the, go ahead and look at the matchups. We're not going to waste your time here talking about that. Because it's all league specific. But Green Bay was the one that stood out to me. If they're available in your league, I stashed them a couple of weeks ago. I would say around week 10 is when you want to start doing this. So we've been talking a little bit about it on this podcast. All right, Geek, you did it again. Thanks for joining me on this Waiver Wire podcast. I will see you all. I will be on SiriusXM Radio tomorrow at 11:20 a.m. on the Fantasy Channel, joining our friends at RotoWire and a couple, I think, writers from Yahoo doing a Thanksgiving Day draft. And then I'm back with you and our friends over at the Flex Network on we're going to be doing a Thanksgiving Day draft at nighttime.
To be clear, Money League.
Money League. Money League. If not, they're going to be doing a four-person draft.
You don't get the geek. You don't get the geek on your draft if there's no money on the line, my man.
All right. And I will see you back here tomorrow afternoon. It's a busy day for us doing the Geeks Vegas lines. We're going to be handling the Thanksgiving slate as well, or are we just going to do the main slate? Probably main.
I don't know.
All right.
We'll do the main slate. I'm doing a special Players Club VIP only DFS Army member breakdown for the Thanksgiving Day slate as well. So I want to kind of break that down separate and in incredible depth. So, you know, I need my full hour for that one. And the 5-minute format does not work for what I want to do to break down that Thanksgiving slate.
And just remember to like and subscribe to the DFS Army YouTube channel, Twitter, and Facebook. Ring the bell to get an alert when we go live. And also become a DFS Army VIP member. Go to DFS Army now if you're listening to this on the public feed. And use promo code GEEK. Use promo code SAYS. Join up. Get a 20% discount for life. You get access to all their coaches, which are experts that could help you build and become a better DFS player. And, you know, we can go through the whole gamut of all the different sports we have. But you get also some added value with our season-long content, basketball, MMA, soccer, everything there is.
Let me ask you a question. In order to become one of those, is there a discount if they wear a flowery shirt like what you're wearing right there?
Thank God most people listen to this on the audio cast and not the video. But yeah, no,
You think if people could see the shirt, they would still listen to this broadcast?
I do.
Unsubscribe.
You don't usually come on this podcast. We have our own little community here of people that, you know, we're a smaller community.
You want to make people know that you're currently on vacation in a Caribbean island somewhere.
Well, I'm in a stadium. Can you see behind me? It looks like I'm in a stadium, I think.
Marlon, is this like that's the standard outfit for like a Dolphins game? Like, let me put on my Caribbean cruise shirt. Are you going, seriously, are you on your way to Carnival Cruises after this podcast to go somewhere today?
Believe it or not, I'm going to referee a high school varsity basketball game and get yelled at by a crowd of people. So,
all right, well, there it is. You gotta feel cool and casual for that situation, I guess.
All right, man. Thank you again for joining us.
I'm sporting my Fits in the Tantrum shirt, man.
All right, you went to the
Tantrums private concert.
Yes, that was great. And I for those of you again that are just joining this late, the Geek went down to Miami for King of the Beach, placed in the top 15. He was 14th overall. Got to see got treated real well down there by DraftKings, and you know, took home the bacon. All right, we will do this again, and I'm also looking forward to our off-season podcast where we're going to be talking about the rookies, Dynasty. We're going to do sort of a report card of what we got right, what we got wrong. All right, Geek, I am at Alan Sislowski on Twitter. Come follow over there. You got at FFootballGeek, and we'll see you next time on the Waiver Wire podcast. Go ahead, win it. Get in those playoffs, people.
Good luck.